welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
It was a verse that I read to the team on Thursday morning when we had a little time together. But I just really believe that God is wanting just to elaborate on it a little bit. And I just want to share some thoughts this morning with you. So Daniel chapter 9, you are all there already, I know. And because we, as a church, are moving into 24/7 in the coming year, I know that prayer is something that God is clearly speaking to us about. But there's several things that I know that what you know God wants to do in our lives before we pray, so that we see more fruit from what we pray. God is wanting to align our hearts up with his heart so that we actually see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. If we don't understand what the Father is wanting, then what are we praying? And we can then become discouraged because we're not seeing the answers to what we're praying. So it's like a circle. God is wanting us to encounter him so that we're praying in line with what he's desiring, because that means that we're going to be successful in everything that we do. When we ask God to come and bless something that we initiate, then it ultimately leads to failing and failure. It does. But in Daniel chapter 9, verse 20, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, "Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed." And then go to Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." I love that verse. I believe that that is the heart of God for all of his children. That because we are highly esteemed, then there are things that God is wanting to respond to quickly. God is wanting to come and answer your prayer, those prayers that you pray in faith. Why? Because you are lining that prayer up with what God is saying and speaking to you. It's your encounter with God that releases the prayer, and therefore you're lining yourself up with the will. But one of the things that it does talk about in Daniel chapter 9 was something to do with confessing of sin. Oh no. There we go again. It's getting our hearts right. I'm just going to read a statement from Watchman Nee's book. "Abraham stood on God's side to pray. His prayer was fully on behalf of God's righteousness. His prayer was not to move God's heart, but to express it. Hence, a prayer that knows God's heart is not a prayer that changes his will, but one that expresses his will." That's so powerful. I'll read it again because you really need to get this. Abraham stood on God's side to pray. His prayer was fully on behalf of God's righteousness. His prayer was not to move God's heart, but to express it. Hence, a prayer that knows God's heart is not a prayer that changes his will, but one that expresses his will. It's powerful, isn't it? One of the things that we have to continually understand is that God is been moving since the day of creation, and certainly he moved through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And obviously that is a book that I am reading at this moment in time from Watchman Nee. And so therefore, some of the thoughts that he has been putting onto print, it's been really stirring me at this moment in time. And I'm just going to just waffle on for the next 20 minutes or so, because I want you to begin to get God's heart for you as his children, because he's wanting you to constantly express his nature in everything that you do, in everything that you pray, everything that you are. Every moment of the day, God is wanting that his life to be expressed in and through you, so that when you are praying, you are really lining your prayer up with the will of God for that particular situation or circumstance. That's why sometimes I really believe God wants to heal more, because I believe that is the will of God. And therefore, when we hear and respond to what God is initiating, then we are going to be so much more successful when we pray. I believe God is wanting us to see so many more people saved within young people, old people, all generations. But we need to begin to respond and line ourselves up with what God is initiating in those situations and circumstances. One of the other things that I'm just throwing out at this moment in time is, I believe God wants us to understand what it means to really see him as Father. This is all, in a sense, it's all together. Why Father? Because as a son, we have to respond to a father's instruction. We have to constantly live with the revelation of who Father is, because we are in the Father's business. We are doing the Father's business. We're acting on the Father's behalf. And therefore, what God is wanting for all of us, for every single one here on the room, everyone listening to the podcast, that God is wanting us to know him as Father. He is wanting us to know him intimately, so that we actually begin to know his heartbeat at every moment of the day, so that we can begin to act on his behalf every moment of the day. This is not something that we switch on or switch off. He is our Father 24/7. And we are his children 24/7. And therefore, we need to be acting on his behalf 24/7. And therefore, we're needing to be reflecting who he is, his business, all the time. And therefore, we do need to understand who Father is, and we need to become intimate with the Father in such a way, such a powerful way, that we understand what he is doing in that situation, this situation, etc. One of the things that in the New Testament we talk about the seven letters to the churches, and it's, you know, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. We need to begin to understand what the Father is doing in our day, because it's so, so important that we're lining everything, including our prayer, in line with his business. You know, in a company, you know, we can take Nissan or Toyota. Their business is cars. They are wanting to make the best cars at the best price, most economical for them to make a profit. And therefore, in everything that they do, all they see is cars. They see a manufacturer of cars, how they can produce cars better, how they can, you know, reduce the emissions, all of those things. All they see is cars, because that's their business. Our business, the Father's business, is about kingdom and seeing it advance, seeing people come into the kingdom. It's about making disciples. It's about answering prayer. It's getting God's heart, speaking that into action and seeing things change. That's the Father's business. We all, you know, are involved in mission in some way. God is wanting that to be a passion of our heart because it's His passion. People are His passion. And He knows that because people are His passion, that He's got to bring us close to Him so that we can begin to get an understanding from His heart what this means. And that's why we have to come to a position like Daniel, who is highly esteemed. Why? Because he was in a relationship with God where his heart was kept in a place before God that was totally open, available all the time. I believe Daniel knew God as Father. I believe that there was times where Daniel had intimacy with God in a way that I'm describing here today. Why? Because God is wanting all of us to have a consecrated heart so that we can begin to display who He is in every way. I've been speaking to a number of people in different churches around this country of late, and there's a number of them are really getting so concerned that the centrality of the cross and the centrality of who God is not again being spoken about in the same way as it has been in the past. So many people are preaching lifestyle, how you can better yourself, how you can become more successful in yourself, how you can be a better Christian in of yourself. And God is, I believe, wanting to bring a readjustment again in His church that says, look, boys, look, girls, look, my kids, my children, who's central here? Who is at the heart of what you're doing? Christianity is not about you, it's about me. Christianity is about what I do in and of you and through you, not about what you do. I can accomplish so much in and through you if you allow me to, but I need you to cooperate with me, not me to cooperate with you. So many churches in this nation and in Europe are asking God to come and bless their plans rather than allowing God to initiate. And therefore, because, you know, it's God trying to bless the plans of men, that doesn't work. It's a mixture. And that's something that Abraham had to learn through his walk for the 25 years where he came out of Haran and then moved into the land of Canaan. He went to Egypt. You know all of these stories. But one of the things that you learn that through a life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is that there is a dealing of the Father, there's a dealing of an expression of the Son, and there's a dealing of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of men. And all of the three are combined because of what God is wanting to express in the life of the body of Christ in the nation. No man is an island. We are the body of Christ, and we need to be expressing the body of Christ wherever we go. And the centrality of the cross is so significant in everything that we say and do. In the time of Abraham, it was the cutting. There was remember when Abraham had a visit and there was a sacrifice and they cut the animals in two and Abraham had to go in between. The fire came in between. And then that led to that word, men, circumcision. Something of circumcision needs to be something that we actually embrace today. Not the physical, praise God, hallelujah, glory, amen. But the actual spiritual reality in that. You know, when the sacrifice was made at that time in Genesis, it talked about the parting, it was a cutting, and they separated into two halves. And then the fire came in between the two. We have to understand that the cross is something that we need to embrace every single day of our life because what it has achieved in and of our lives. Just shout some of the things out that the cross has done for you. Healing, salvation, freedom, righteousness. Sorry? Protecting, yeah, protecting, yes. Joy. Broken every curse, amen. Holiness. Redemption. Forgiveness. Peace. All of these things God has done on the cross and more. That's what he gave you when you accepted him into your life. Why don't we live in the good of these things? That's why we have to take up our cross daily and follow him. But these are the truths that have been lost to many of the church. These foundations of the Christian faith that need to be again proclaimed loud and clear, not just, you know, with words, but with actions. You know, the church can is well taught in many, many places. But the teaching, I believe, and it is, I believe, needs to come back to some foundational truths of who and what God is as Father, proclaiming him as Father, Lord, Master. These words, Savior. You see, with what I read from the book Abraham, Isaac and Jacob from Watchman Nee before, there's two things that are taking place. One is what God has already done, but he hasn't left us there because, you know, in Galatians 2:20, it talks about two things. It talks about what Christ has done, but it also, you know, Christ has died, etc. But it also talks about Christ living within us. He doesn't leave us alone to do this on our own. That's why it's the two things. It's Christ. We are in Christ, but Christ is also in us. It's the two things that we need to embrace, not just the one. Sometimes we talk about Christ in us, but we're not talking about us in Christ. And sometimes it's the opposite. Why? Because it's so important that we begin to understand the whole gospel message again and apply the whole gospel message. This is what the Father instigated right from the word go and began through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to bring a foundation again back. And it's the beginning of the work that he did through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to see Jesus Christ come through so that we can then now have that redemptive life that God wants us to have. But one of the things that you need to always understand that God is wanting to be your Father and therefore express and show and reveal all of these truths to you so that you can walk in the good of them. Amen. We've lost sight as the church, as the body, we've lost sight of some of these things because we've got so highly intelligent in sense and we've tried to teach all sorts of other things, whereas the centrality of the gospel message has been lost to many. I was speaking to the first years about a group of people who my heart goes out to. Back on the Wirral, I was part of a youth team that had about 120, 130 people coming to the youth meetings on a regular basis. And we had some amazing times. We were praying all night. The young people were on fire. It was amazing to see and to be part of. And this is now 19 years ago. And I was talking to a friend of mine 2 weeks ago. And he was just saying one person after the other person after another person was no longer walking with God. People had come into a place where they had made decisions, they'd made choices that instead of bringing them closer to God, had taken them away from God. And we're not just talking about a handful of people here. We're talking about dozens of these 120-odd people who are no longer walking with God because they've made some wrong choices in their lives. They've made some decisions that have led them away from a relationship with God into areas of compromise, ultimately into areas of sin. And there are many, many of those young people who are no longer going to church. They are no longer walking with God. And that broke my heart. Because these people who I love, these people who I gave myself and my life for at that particular point of time. And I really started to get challenged by this. Because, you know, as I say, I wasn't there. This is 19 years ago. But I don't want any person to be outside a relationship with God where they are beginning to make wrong choices in their lives. I want the gospel message to be alive today as it was in the day of your salvation. When you first became a Christian and you had that excitement, that joy, I want you to have that same excitement and joy today. Why? Because you know the Father intimately. I want to be a person who knows the Father so closely that day by day, like Adam, when God started to walk in the garden, Adam knew the voice of God. I want to have a relationship with that, like that. That it was so close that I knew and I could hear and I can respond to the voice of God all of the time. So that I personally don't make those wrong decisions in my own life and therefore has the potential of taking me away from the path that God wants me to walk on. That's why we need to understand the gospel so, so clearly in our lives, that we need to have the gospel again. Let we eat and you know, have that within us, because we've got to ensure that when there are false things spoken about, other truths that are coming in that may be a little bit different from what is in the gospel, that we know and understand those things. We have to get back to a place where we begin to digest this word again so that we can understand what the Father's business is about, and therefore that we can express it wherever we go. Wherever God sends us, we're expressing His business, not mine. I can so often, I could go, you know, to Timbuktu and I could rattle off some of my own thoughts. Pointless. But if God begins to enable me to speak His words, then there is amazing power that can be released through that in any situation that God sends me to. If I begin to get a heart for the people that God is sending me to, then I begin to line myself up with the will of God for that group of people. And therefore, what I pray is totally in line with the Father. And therefore, what's going to happen? The Father is going to act. I want the Father to be acting on my behalf all of the time. But because, you know, I want that, then I need to line myself up totally, totally with the Word of God and what He says to me through in my prayer closet, in my prayer room. It is so important that even in my prayer room, that lies up with the Word of God. That if I start to put things on my journal that are totally against the Word of God, then what's in my journal, I'm sorry, is wrong. That's why the Word and the Spirit has got to be in operation together all of the time if we're going to see Father express His divine will in and through us. It's so important that the church in this nation needs to hear this, and hence I believe this is why God has put this on my own heart, because this is the challenge to me. This is life for me at this moment in time. I'm digesting all of this stuff. Circumcision, God has talked to me a lot about circumcision. Because circumcision is a mark. It was a mark upon a body. Jacob received the mark when he touched God. And the hip joint is one of the most solid positions in the whole body, I'm led to believe. It's a real hard, solid place. And yet God touched him there. He marked him. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were marked. why do we cover it up? Why do we cover it up? This is a challenge to me. Because I want the gospel message to be proclaimed because I believe in it. I know that the Father is wanting me to get close to Him. Why? Because He wants me to express who He is in every area and every facet of life. I believe God has called Kingdom Faith into being because God is wanting to express kingdom, and He knows that to express kingdom needs faith and then the grace to walk in that. It's all of these things that God is wanting us to begin to realize that we are important business. And if we don't do it, who's going to? Now, you guys are, you know, a lot of you guys are here as students. And so, therefore, you have been trained. And you're sitting under the word in this situation. But you're also sitting under a position where you were worshiping, encountering God as Father. These are important things for every single one of us to learn, whether it's students or not. But we need to all sit under the instruction of Father. We need to all have an intimate relationship with Father so that we actually then do exactly what God is asking of us, but we then have the faith to believe that whatever the outcome, it's not a problem. Abraham took his son Isaac to sacrifice Isaac. That was incredible. And he laid him on the altar. But yet Abraham had the faith. No, this is the son of the promise. And so he believed that even if he was to strike him and you know, kill him, that God was going to somehow raise him from the dead. There was an expectation in him because God had got him to a place where it was not in his own strength that he was doing things. It was God's instructions, God's order. When Isaac was born, it was like Abraham was as good as dead in his body. Was. Sarah's womb was closed up. And it was when they considered everything as dead, that's when God came in. That was when God acted. And we've got to understand that the Father, as the Father, is wanting to take initiative in our lives constantly. And we've got to allow Him to. If we begin to take the initiative and we begin to do things and act on what we think is right, then ultimately it will take us away from where God is wanting us. God needs to initiate absolutely everything in our lives. That's why the cross is so significant for us day by day. I've got to deny myself. I've got to take up the cross. Take up the cross. God, I thank you that it's not my life. It's your life. Father, I thank you that it's not my righteousness here, it's your righteousness. Father, I thank you that it's your sanctification, not mine. See, it's a joy. The cross is a joy because the cross is a release. The cross is a resurrection that we've got to remember the resurrection side of it too, not just the death of it. The cross is now empty because we have been set free from all of that sin, death, etc. Because we have taken hold of the truth of what the cross means. But the cross means freedom. The cross means victory. And if we embrace all of these things on a day-to-day basis, then everything that we are going to be doing is a joyful. It will be joy-filled in every sense of the word. Why? Because it's He who is acting, not us. It's an amazing life that God wants us to enjoy. Yes, it's going to be challenging, but because Christ is in us, He's going to help us do that thing. As we've, you know, read from at the beginning, it's Christ who does it. Christ who achieves. It's Christ's righteousness, Christ's holiness. But it's the person who's living in us who's enables us to enjoy that. It's not me anymore. You know, the second year, as you have heard me talk about baptism a little bit, and you did some work on baptism. Baptism is an amazing thing because it's my death. My death and his life. It's the resurrection, is his life. But you see, to know his life, we need to know him. We need to know him. We need to know him as Father. We need to know him intimately. The nation and the nations that we belong to need a people who express his divine nature in every way. The church needs a people who proclaim truth, but act upon it too. So many can have the words and can express these things, but unless we act upon what we're speaking about, then actually it's meaningless. God wants life, his life, in every area, every facet of our lives. God wants to invade your being. God wants to invade your space. And God wants to take the initiative in all of these areas of your life, financial. Some of you are working through financial situations at this moment in time, and you're looking to God for some answers regarding finance. For me, it's all about seeking God first, and then all of these things will be added to you. And I know it's a statement that people throw out, and not that again. But you see, if we begin to know God as Father, then these statements become real to us. Because we know that this is the heart of God for his children, and therefore one of the things that he was wanting to constantly do is give to his children in many different ways. There's other statements, by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. You know, God as Father wants to see so many more signs and wonders in every area of our lives. God is wanting to see demonstration of who he is expressed in us, but also through us, so that he receives all the glory, the honor, the praise from what he does. And so therefore, one of the things that he's wanting to do is to demonstrate with signs and wonders in so many more, so much more often, because he is the supernatural God. He is the incredible, awesome God. And therefore, he's wanting to express this life constantly. We, in revival history, we touched on the Celts and some of the monks, St. Patrick and Columba and the monastery at Iona. And this was, you know, in 600-700s. But some of the miracles that they saw water change into wine. They saw infestation in cattle go. They saw storms calmed. You know, everything that we read in the book of Acts, they began to see. And these are monks. These are the guys in the grey garb. You know, that you, if you see Cadfile or one of those programs, it was them. But they expressed the kingdom of God. Why? Because they began to know God intimately, and therefore they expressed who he is in every facet of their life. Were they part of the storm? Yes, they were, but they then saw God come in the midst of the storm to calm it. Because they were not going to be stopped from doing the will of God by circumstances, but they wanted to see God change the circumstances that they were in. See, there's a fallacy that when you become a Christian, all your problems disappear. We all know that not to be true. But you see, if we have a relationship with the Father will explain and show us and reveal to us how we get through those situations so that we actually are overcomers. God is wanting faith to arise within us because faith overcomes. But faith constantly depends upon His grace. That every day of our lives, Father, I thank You, it's not me, it's You. Father, I thank You that it's not me who's working this miracle, it's You. Father, I thank You that this gift of £100 is a gift of grace to me. Father, I thank You. Father, I thank You, my home, my family, my support mechanism, my friendships. Father, I thank You that they are a gift to me from You. These are the things that, you know, I believe that God is giving us constantly. And sometimes I think we forget to thank God for. But you see, it's understanding who the Father is. He wants to bless His children. But there is that other side that God, because God wants to bless His children, we've got to do what the Father asks of us. My daughters often, you know, come and, you know, flash their eyelids when they want something, you know, Dad, Dad. And because I love my children, I don't always give in, but there is often, quite often I do. But our Father is amazing. He wants to give good things to His children. But it's, you know, through a relationship that we have with Him that He can express Himself more fully than ever before. Why? Because He wants to always take the initiative. God is wanting to put these desires within us that are in line with Scripture. And as we pray those things, because we're lining ourselves up totally with the Word of God, totally with the Father, then these things can be expressed in so many amazing ways. So that we begin to see the things that we're speaking about. It's like we proclaim it and see it. We proclaim it and see it. Proclaim it and see it. Proclaim it and see it. Because I believe that is the Father's heart. Yes, God in you is patient. And so therefore there is times where we proclaim it, we thank God for it, and there's then a little delay, which is a test of our faith. What is our language going to be in that particular period of time? That's why it's a day-to-day thing. It's taking up daily our cross. It's taking up daily our relationship with God. That we do not see that the relationship with the Father is something that we only do at an 8 o'clock on a Monday to Friday, and that's fine. The relationship with God is constant. We need to be talking to the Father constantly. Father, what's on your heart here? This situation, this person who's walking down the street, Lord, why have You put them on my heart? What do You want to say to them? On the missions on the Wednesday afternoon, Father, on this door, what do You want to say? You know, in every situation, Father, I want to do Your will. I want Your purposes. And there's times when in the prayer meeting beforehand, what God will do is begin to speak to you about the things that you're going to be seeing on the street. And that's something that you need to take hold of and saying, Father, I thank You that these are things. And so therefore you can then pray in line with His will. And therefore you will see what is He has spoken. It's relationship. But you see, if we are going to see something happen in our nation, we've got to get back to some of these foundations. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were foundational in the new thing that God was initiating. Once Adam had fallen and had fallen into sin, then so often in the New Testament, it was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that He spoke about. And those three people, and the first years, I'll probably speak to you about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob next term, because it's fascinating to see each of those characters, what God did in and through their lives that brings something into the present reality. I don't read, you know, books in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and think that that was past. I read these books and saying, God, what do you want me to have today? What is the things that you're wanting to speak to me about today? And through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, one of the things that I really realize is that the Father who spoke to them, took them through some tests, some trials, I still need to face every single one of them in order to be the person that Christ wants me to be now. Now, I've got Jesus Christ too. Abraham didn't, but he went through some amazing things that are similar to the cross, to the experiences of the cross. But, what time is it? Oh, it's that time. But you see, for me, it's not just about me. I want to see the name of Jesus advance in our nation. I'm delighted at when I go to a conference or I go to situations or churches where I see people and churches that are growing numerically. I love it when people are preaching the gospel and seeing the gospel advance, and that advancement is the change of people's lives. I also get concerned at times that, just like the young people's group that I was part of 19 years ago, that unless they get taught the cross and its significance, that when a storm comes, then many may not be there. They may not stand the test if they don't have their roots in the Word. And these young people that I had, obviously I've gone to the Lord, and in a sense it's, Lord, what if I've done anything wrong here, please forgive me. Because these people were sent to the team, there was a team of us, but they were sent to us to look after, to care for, but also to instruct. I believe God sent these young people to us, but we at that time saw amazing things, but we didn't somehow ground them in the foundation of truth that was able to keep them when the storms of life came and began to attack them. And that was a real challenge to me, because I don't want that for myself, but I don't want that for any of you or any of you listening. That when the storms of life do come, that our lives are so solid on the rock, on the truth, that our lives are so in line with the Word of God, the Father, that we will overcome when anything does come and try and sweep us or distract us or try and kill, steal, or destroy us. These things are happening. This is the Word. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so therefore, that's what he wants to do in all of our lives. From Pastor Colin and throughout Kingdom Faith right to you guys. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy from you. And you need to be aware of that. But you see, if you have your life and your relationship with the Father, then he is going to show you how you overcome. He's going to show you what steps you need to take to avoid these things or to walk through them. Sometimes God doesn't take these things away, but we have to walk through them. But he enables us to do that with the strength that he gives us, not our own strength. Too many of us try to do it in our own strength and we get bruised. We get wounded. Yes? But if God does it, then we will get through it in the way that he wants us to go through it. And he will equip us, he will protect us. It may be that some words will come against you, but it will be like bouncing off a rubber thing, because it's not going to damage you. So that therefore the heart needs to be protected, and it's God who protects that. We're going to get into prayer in a minute. But Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind on gaining understanding and to humble yourself before your God, we need to begin to understand the Father's business again. We need to begin to understand what this Christian life is about and why he called and chose us, because there is some important business that he wants us to do. It's not about sitting in lectures for the rest of your life and receiving all of this stuff. Praise God, hallelujah, glory, amen. It's about equipping you for you to go and begin to act and do the Father's business. But you have to understand what that is, and therefore gain understanding. You set your mind to gain understanding. You set your mind to find out what the Father's business is. You've set your mind on gleaning from this word. You've set your mind on gleaning from people like Pastor Mike and Pastor Kay. People who've walked with God for years and years, who've seen and done things in God. Glean. So that in everything, you set your mind to these things. Humble yourself. You humble yourself before God. You humble yourself before your Father. Say, Father, I just come to you. I humbly bow before you. I'm your son. I want to do your business. I humbly bow before you. But then this is amazing. Humble self before your God. Your words were heard. I have come in response to them. When you set your mind on these things, the word, and gain understanding, when you continue to humble yourself and submit to his authority in your life, then as soon as you speak, God begins to act. Why? Because you've lined yourself up with who he is. Just let's stand.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.